Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet. Which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I, of course, have my lovely sister-in-law here, Emily Jensen.
Hi!
And gosh, it is like the middle of summer, which is amazing. And Em, do you change up your coffee routine at all in the summertime?
No, I am a black coffee gal every day the whole year. That's really boring. But in the afternoon, if I need a pick-me-up, I will take my leftover coffee from the morning.
Oh, dear.
This is getting bad. And I will pour it in over ice and add a little bit of creamer and pretend like I'm giving myself.
Oh, you wild woman.
Nice.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's bad, girl.
It is bad. It's only on really bad days.
I love making iced coffee, and I make it in these huge batches. And so if you guys are all looking for a new iced coffee recipe, Pioneer Woman's iced coffee is awesome. And she suggests that you make it with sweetened condensed milk. And that is, let me tell you, a divine treat. And while you can't do it every day, or I would have more of a mom bod than I already do, it is still super good. So Emily, you should switch it up and make some iced coffee.
I really should. I'm always intimidated with that recipe because she's got these giant containers.
Yes.
And then I'm like, I don't have those. And so I'm like, I definitely see the one cup of coffee in my coffee maker from this morning. Maybe I can spice that up a little bit.
That is hilarious. Well, oh man, maybe I got to come to your house and make you a batch because girl, you are missing out.
That'd
and that
be wonderful.
Is a very sad afternoon. I'll tell you what, but anyway, what we're talking about today, we are talking about idols and idols of a mom's heart specifically, and just things that we can get caught up in, like maybe me, coffee in the morning. If I don't get my coffee, that's sort of like can sometimes be a big deal. I don't know. That's a silly one, but it could be seen as an idol, I suppose. But in all seriousness, you know, an idol, historically, we often, when we hear that term, it's sort of a dated term in a sense, because I think often we think of what, like little tiny gold figurines that are like, you know, like look like little Buddhas or like little animals. I don't know. And what do you think of with like a traditional idol?
Yeah. You know, you go back to like kind of an old Bible story and you imagine like a big statue that like everybody is like bowing down to.
Yes, totally. So, you know, I think like as moms, like when you hear that word, sometimes it can kind of be like, oh, an idol. I don't have any of those in my house, but yes, you do. You know, and so, but in today's day and age or biblically, like what an idol is really anything that we worship besides God.
Yeah. And worship is we were created to worship. Our hearts love to worship. Our whole lives are lived in worship. And so I think the question is, what are we worshiping? And it's something that Laura and I have talked about on a variety of different episodes. And I think John Calvin has a really good quote about how our hearts are idol making factories. And we literally, can just replace God with all kinds of different things that we love more than him and that we spend more of our time and our energy and our, you know, even more of like our delight goes to things other than God. And anytime we do that, it becomes an idol. It's a thing that we worship.
Yeah. And these things are like usually not inherently bad in and of themselves, which is why it's so difficult to identify them. And so I think when you see them, it's like, well, that can be used for God's glory or it can be used for you to sin in your heart against God. And so, that's why today Em and I want to just kind of talk through what those look like specifically for moms. Cause I think moms have a lot of really similar ones. Yeah. We can struggle with a lot of the same things. And so, I know like for myself, I will just go out on a limb here and get real vulnerable with you guys. But I know that often my natural love language is affirmation. And, so I, especially as a stay-at-home mom, can really struggle with getting that because it's not in the job description. It's not naturally built in. There's no review. There's no boss that's telling me, hey, you did a good job, you did a bad job, you know, you exceeded expectations or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so often I can really, you know, desire to get that. And when I don't, like, I don't know, kind of throw myself a pity party or have a bad attitude or, you know, kind of expect that from my husband. And when I don't get that, maybe feel a little bit sour towards mm-hmm. him. And I know that that's kind of one of my biggest, I mean, I have many, many idols. Mm-hmm. I will be very honest, but I think that's kind of something that as a stay-at-home mom is just, has been really brought to light for me mm-hmm. as something that I struggle with. And, just understanding of how to get that, through Jesus. And we'll get to that of how we replace our idols. But, I have really had to learn and grow in that area yeah. so that I don't, choose my attitude based on what I'm worshiping.
Exactly. And what's interesting is I think that idols can like manifest themselves in the same way. So you can have, you know, Laura is feeling, you know, oh, she has like a bad attitude about something. And like, I can have a bad attitude about something, but like my reason is totally different.
Yeah.
And so if you want to, you know, drill down for me what that is, and I think that it really goes down to a few kind of big core issues for me. I really worship and value comfort and ease and like a fun, happy life.
That sounds pretty good to me too.
I think, you know, kind of at any given point you'd be like, what do I really want? I'm like, I just want my day to be fun and I just want to do the easy things. I just want quiet and peace and for us to go do that cool activity and not have anybody melt down or, and so, whenever that doesn't happen, I can get angry. I can be frustrated. I can, just not be patient with my children or those around me. I can feel despairing. And so I don't know. I think that I can do a lot of things. I feel like another big weakness of mine as a parent is like, I will do something that gives kind of that instant gratification in the moment so that I feel like things are like easy or fun, even though in the long run, like that would be a damaging choice. So, that's just one of many ways that I think instead of obeying God and doing something that I know yeah. is right, I want what's going to give me that satisfaction right then and there, because that's what I'm worshiping and that's what I'm valuing. So it's really hard. I've seen it all across my parenting every day.
Yeah. And I think like those are just two examples that are probably pretty common, we would think, across a lot of moms. But other ones that you can have that maybe if those didn't strike a chord for you, I think, what are some, Emily, like performance yeah. of your kids, like your kids maybe performing well, or if they behave well, like seeing that as a reflection on your character and your ability. Yeah.
And then just being able to control.
Yes.
Like, I think that is a really big one, being able to control your environment, your kids' yeah. behavior, what they eat, what they are watching, who they are around, you know, basically being kind of a lord of their lives and your lives and yeah. feeling like everything has to work out the way I want it to, or I'm not going to be happy.
Yeah. I think, like health too, mm-hmm. I think, again, these are not bad things,
no,
but sometimes
no.
they can become idols of like our body image, like how we recover after postpartum, maybe how you feed your family or you mm-hmm. feed yourself, just like how you view your body or fitness and working out. And if you got that day, maybe even like how put together you are,
yeah.
you know, too, along those lines of just how you look and how you mm-hmm. dress and are you wearing, you know, designer clothes or maybe like, you know, you can be really proud of that $2 thrift store shirt. You know, it can go both ways
yeah.
too of yeah. finding pride in those things.
Or maybe just like in motherhood and in life, feeling like you
yeah.
want to have it all. You want to have, you know, a really successful career and a really successful ministry life
yep.
and really successful motherhood. And you just want to be seen as somebody who is kind of, you know, living the American dream or whatever that is, and wanting to be perceived that way and kind of have it all. And even money, I mean, that's a huge
yeah.
one, and it can manifest itself in parenting as well of, you know, the way that you are relating to your husband or the way that you are managing your money, and the way you're putting your time towards that management.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and I think too, like your home is another one, you know, like just your decorations and, you know, how you host maybe and how people feel when they come into your home and, you know, your hospitality and just whether or not everything's like perfect and put together and, or the meal that you put on the table for them, I think like, or what your backyard, is it kid friendly? If your basement, do you have all the toys that are perfect for kids? You know, I think that can be another one.
So again, we just want to keep stressing that these are good things to want. And it is okay to like want to have, you know, some financial security, and it's okay to want to have a nice house, and it's okay to hope that your children behave well. But the problem is when we value that thing more than we value God, when we love and treasure this idea more than we love and treasure Jesus. And that is when it becomes really dangerous and turns a good thing into a not good thing.
and going into kind of explicitly how that gospel fits is just that, you know, when we were originally created, we were created to glorify God, to worship him, to walk life with him. And Adam and Eve enjoyed that for a time, but then the fall happened. And what came with it, we started to become prone to be worshiping anything but God. And so that's why as just human beings, not just as moms, but just as humans, like we are, as Emily quoted earlier, but idol making factories, you know, and that if it's not one thing, it's another. And on one day it could be comfort, and another day it could be affirmation. Another moment it could be just how you feel about your home or how you feel about your body. Like we are really, really good at creating those idols because of our sin nature. But God, I love this, that because in his grace, because of the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us, he mended that gap between our desires and the sin, and allowed us to be able to come into communion with Christ again and to enjoy God as our single focus, as our only thing of worship, that because of that sacrifice, we can have power over our natural inclination to worship all these mini gods, these little idols in our life, and instead worship the one true God.
Exactly. And knowing that that is the only thing that's ultimately going to give us joy. And that's the only thing that's really going to satisfy. And it's just such a tremendous like blessing, and something that I find myself having to say, thank you, God, when I see a situation in my heart or in my mothering, because motherhood reveals all of these things where I see a disproportionate response to something that happened. And I go, huh, what just happened there? Why am I so angry about this? Or why am I so upset about this? And I realize, oh, it's because of what I worshiped. And I am so thankful that God shows me that, because that allows me and allows us as moms to turn back to the one who, we need to be living for and loving with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so I just barely started to touch on there. How can we know what our idols are? That is a big one for moms to figure out. And I think it starts with asking just some questions.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that those, maybe earlier, some of the things that we talked about, maybe those struck a chord with you, or maybe none of them did. You know, there are others out there, or sometimes, I know this has happened for me a lot, the idol is wrapped so deeply in our heart, and we're so comfortable and easy with it, it's hard for us to notice. And so that's where you have to ask God, like beginning, and Em started saying this, but just asking God to reveal that to you, and just to be praying that like your eyes would be open. And it reminds me of Emily, C.S. Lewis and Eustace, the story of, you know, when he became a dragon and he had to remove his skin, and he kept trying to do it, and it was easy, and he was removing a couple layers here and there, but then eventually, to really fully rid himself of his skin, Aslan had to come in and take a deep, painful cut and remove it for him. And then only then was Eustace able to have freedom from his sin and to enjoy the sweetness of his presence with Aslan and to rid himself of that sin. And I feel like that's a lot of times what happens with these idols in our hearts, is that, you know, we are, have this thick, scaly dragon skin, and we don't know it. We're comfortable in it. And, you know, we kind of like slough it off, but we don't replace those idols with Jesus. Yeah. And that is where we need Christ to come in. And in that analogy, that's what Aslan was doing, was removing the sin with a deep cut that often hurts, but replaces it with something good.
And that's not enough yet to just say, I'm going to stop doing this. I'm going to stop loving that. I'm going to stop worshiping that. It's not enough for Laura to say, I'm just going to not care about affirmation anymore. It's not enough for me to say, I'm just not going to care about a fun life. Laura has to turn and look and find her affirmation in God and realize that affirmation from him and in him is going to be more satisfying and, you know, more wonderful. And she can just value that over anything else. And I have to realize, like, hey, this fun life that I think I want, this comfort and this ease, guess what? True peace and rest is found in Jesus. And he is more wonderful and more restful and more just going to bring me more joy than I could ever have in anything else. And I think that is the only way to combat an idol. It's, you know, anyone who's ever tried to stop doing something by just, you know, kind of gritting their teeth and I'm just not going to do this anymore, you know, that doesn't last for very long. You have to give yourself something better, something that you enjoy more.
Yes, totally. And I think we are starting to get into this, but if you are looking for what those idols might be in your life, I mean, it's those things that you think about the most, the things that make you most upset when they go wrong or not your way. You know, kind of, you can look at like what happens, how do you spend your free time? Yeah. You know, like what do you do when you have some extra time? How is that spent?
What do you make excuses for?
Yes, totally. Yeah. And you mentioned this one earlier, but I think it's a really good one. Where is your response disproportionate to the thing that happened? You know, like, are you super just devastated by something that really, you know, generally most people would think your attitude was extreme or your response was extreme. So those are some questions you can ask yourself. I think if, you know, nothing's coming to mind, but hopefully something does as you work through those things and ask God to reveal them to you. And yeah, so we just want to encourage you guys today to look really critically at your hearts and what you're worshiping and to not only say, hey, like, I'm not going to do that anymore, but to really say, I want to turn to Jesus and I want to fill that void in my heart with Jesus instead of leaving it empty, because, you know, let's be honest, you're going to fill it with something. That's just human nature.
Yep. Yep. So turn and treasure Jesus more than anyone and anything else. That is what we are all about here at Risen Motherhood. Mm-hmm. This episode kind of gets to the heart about pretty much everything else that we talk about. So, yeah, if you want to find more on this topic, we will have some stuff in our show notes. And you can also go back and hear about more heart issue things on our show archives. So that's risenmotherhood.com. And as always, feel free to leave us a rating or review. We would love that. And hope we will catch you back here next time.